If I could start off on exactly why it is that you guys are reaching out to get a message across to the public, what exactly is the message that you want people to know about the way you're going to tackle the drug addiction problem in the United States?
Well, and you know, we produced the President's National Drug Control Strategy, but then we also have some information on, you know, we wrote the Southwest Border Strategy. We've been asked by Congress to write a Northern Border Strategy, and I think one of the reasons that we're kind of in the driver's seat on some of this is that we really favor this balanced approach that the drug issue in the United States has been mostly handled from the criminal justice viewpoint. And they have an important role to play, but not enough attention and, frankly, not enough funding has been given to prevention and to treatment issues. And we have to have this whole approach rather than just the one.
How long is it going to take for the philosophy to change from strictly going towards the criminal justice route to switching and having a counterbalance with not only addressing the illegal consumption and trafficking, but also the prevention and the treatment?
I don't think it will take long, particularly. And I mean, that's an interesting question. Actually, no one's really talked about that because for 40 years we've had that, you know, the phrase war on drugs. And so we don't have a bumper sticker. We don't have a catchphrase. I think everyone, you know, and when people talk about the drug issues, you know, people, regardless of the country, but particularly here, in a nation that consumes a lot of drugs, there isn't anyone that you talk to about the drug issue who hasn't been impacted. You know, they have kids that are in school that can get drugs. They have neighbors or coworkers that have been affected by drugs. And they realize that it's been around a long time. It's entrenched. It's a difficult issue. And, you know, it doesn't lend itself well to a bumper sticker.
We've talked about the philosophy. Now, what's being done, actual black and white policy moving forward? What is in place now that wasn't in place prior?
The black and white changes would be the President's drug control strategy that was issued by him in May of last year, which lays this out very clearly with also very clear goals over the next 5 years of what should be achieved, particularly in reducing drug on youth, reducing the amount of problems that we have of people behind the wheel with drugs. The second part of the concrete proposal that are not included was that when we put the budget together, the President's request is for an additional $200 million for prevention funding and an additional $137 million for treatment funding.
An interesting part of the Seattle Police Department in its history, you were the chief of police there. You went on to be into the position you are now. One of your predecessors, Norm Stamper, is actually the head of a local chapter of law enforcement against prohibition that would like to see some sort of decriminalization or even legalization of current illegal drugs. You said in El Paso recently that that is not an option, that that is off the table to legalize certain illegal drugs. Why is that your stance?
Well, one, the administration stance is opposing legalization, and of course when the President was candidate, he opposed legalization. We don't see any evidence that legalizing drugs and making them more widely available would be a help to anyone in this country. And the RAND Corporation has very well in two studies knocked down the issue that it would reduce violence in Mexico, and the other study was about the amount of money that California, or that the proposition assumed could be collected in taxes, and that was thoroughly repudiated also by the study. The second part is, I mean, just from a common sense standpoint, our number one growing drug problem in the country, including fatalities, is prescription drugs. Well, prescription drugs are highly regulated, highly taxed, highly controlled, and yet we are completely incapable of keeping them out of the hands of kids, out of the hands of people abusing drugs. And the evidence is very clear when it comes to fatalities and when it comes to emergency department visits. So why we would ever think that legalizing drugs that will be any more successful than we are with prescription drugs is beyond me.
You mentioned Mexico, and there's a lot of people here in Texas. You read comments on news stories. You see people at press conferences saying the United States is responsible for the bloodshed in Mexico. What do you say to the argument that that legalizing drugs, I mean, why did you just say that it would not quell the violence in Mexico? Can you be a little bit more specific about why?
Sure,
you think
I think the RAND Corporation study, which has been widely published and is very thorough, not only says that legalizing drugs would not reduce violence in Mexico, the chaos could actually increase the violence in Mexico. The other part is that people, I would tell you that very rarely do I ever hear anyone in my 7 trips to the border or my 4 trips to Mexico, do I ever hear anyone blaming the United States. It used to be a very common term. Keep the drugs, your drug consuming habits are fueling our violence. I don't hear that anymore. And in fact, the ambassador here, Arturo Surakan, will tell you that don't think of Mexico as just a drug transit or a drug producing country. It is also a drug a country that is consuming drugs. And so
I'll visit with you later.
You know, we're kind of all in this together. We all have our drug addiction problems, and we all have our drugs.
If you could offer, I guess, the strongest point of advice to Mexican President Felipe Calderon and how he can best improve the situation, what would it be?
I would tell you that I've had several meetings with President Calderon. I've been there with Secretary Clinton also. And I think they're one, and I saw her statements in the press today, and I think I'm absolutely in agreement. You know, you have no alternative in Mexico but to confront these violent cartels. People can't make peace with them. They're not going to change, and taking them on is cause terrific violence. On the other hand, what absolute choice do you have when you have these kinds of enterprises? But I would tell you, I think that everything that I've seen is that President Calderon is on the right path. First of all, really, you know, he's been in office a little over 4 years, so it took a little while to gear up. People often talk about Colombia as a success, but I think people in Colombia are the first to tell you that that happened over many, many years. Not in a short period of time, but he's changing the judiciary. He is improving the police. He is increasing cooperation on intelligence sharing of information. I think there's a lot of movement all in.
Another thing that goes hand in hand when the flow of drugs north is mentioned is the flow of money and weapons south. Do you believe, some people have discredited Mexican officials that say most of the weapons used in crimes in that country come from the U.S. Do you believe that that's a true fact? Do you believe that we have a...
Oh, I believe it's a true fact.
Okay.
Well, many of the, and believe me, I understand it's not the only source of weapons. The weapons from other military, from governments in Guatemala, Honduras, et cetera, manufacturing of guns, I wouldn't begin to say, but I am clearly in the camp that says, look, a large part of these guns that are recovered in Mexico have come from the United States. Absolutely.